can't hold out on this thing, Lord. Say I don't wanna disappoint you, my Lord, again, so deliver me from these thoughts in my head, Lord.
Deliver me from the valley,
deliver me from the
welcome to another episode of Bear It All. Here at Bear It All, our mission is to empower you to live a life of purpose and step into your power. If you want to reach out to us, our Twitter handle is at RSBearItAll. Facebook is facebook.com/3BearItAll. And our email address is BearItAll3@hotmail.com. I am your host, Dr. Raquel Stewart. And I want to so thank all of our supporters for your continued support, for always being here with us and tuning in every single week and sharing us with your friends. And, you know, if you want to share any of our podcasts with any of your friends, it's fine. Please feel free to do so. We enjoy that. If you are new to Bear It All, we want to welcome you, so sit back, relax, and get ready to bear it all. So before I bring on our guest, who's now a friend to the show, I don't even want to call her a guest anymore. She's a friend to the show. Before I bring on Dr. Leslie Brown, I want to talk about some hot topics. And one hot topic that I want to share with you, I am launching, or actually I'm filming the pilot for my own talk show, the Dr. Rock Show, in New York on Sunday. So any of you listening out there are in the New York area, especially Brooklyn, because we're going to be filming in Brooklyn. You know, it all goes down into BK. If you're going to be in the Brooklyn area on Sunday, May 1st, around 1 p.m., here's what I suggest you do. I suggest you get on our Facebook page and RSVP to be a part of the live studio audience. We're going to be filming, as I said, the pilot for my talk show, the Dr. Rock Show, on Sunday. So I'm, like, super excited about that. Next thing, as I always discuss, is the our candidates here, and our Clinton and Trump have had banner nights. The two front runners are all but locked up in their spots as each party's presumed nominee. Donald Trump won all five states that were up for grabs last night, and Hillary Clinton won four. I'm going to tell you this, guys. If you are not following, and I say this every single week, but if you are not following this presidential race in any way, you need to. You need to kind of be aware of what is going on, who is doing what these candidates stand for, because guess what? One of these people are going to be the president. One of these people are going to run the country. You kind of want to have an idea about them, okay? And I always, always, always encourage you to get out there and vote, okay? People sit back and you guys criticize the candidates and you criticize how our politicians are running the country, but you don't get out there and vote. Get out there, vote. Have your voice be heard. Okay, that's the only way that change is going to take place is if, hey, you say something and you demand a change. So get out there and vote, okay? Well, I want to continue on with this. The race is Trump just needs, he needs two more states. California and Indiana are the last things between him and the 1,200 delegates needed to claim a majority spot. Technically, he needs 1,237 delegates. So he needs to win in California and Indiana. Okay? So I want to know how your day was going. I want you to get on the line, give me a call, talk to me. Definitely, definitely you'll want to hear from Dr. Brown on Hold On, Don't Despise Your Birthright. So before she gets on, I have a couple of questions for you that I want you to give some thought to before I bring Dr. Brown on. And one question is, do you even know what a birthright is? Okay, so do you know what a birthright is? Secondly, do you know what to do with your birthright? Like, we're talking about that tonight, and the title is Hold On, Don't Despise Your Birthright, but do you know what it is? And do you know what to do with it? You know, and these sound like simple questions, but these are just, it's food for thought before we actually bring on Dr. Brown. Now, something else I want to mention is this Beyonce. I personally have not heard her new album. I know she released some stuff on Saturday, and it was blowing up the internet. Technically, she broke the internet, I've heard. And I also heard that, you know, in reading the papers and current events, and stuff that, who's that other one? Kim Kardashian. She tried to give Beyonce some competition, and she was a no-show, pretty much. She was no competition. Apparently, Beyonce is doing these visual songs, and they're about empowerment. They're about relationships and infidelity in relationships. Let me just say this. As much as what's going on, please don't think that everything these artists sing about is actually what's taking place in their life, okay? Now, she's got a great marketing team, and they do a phenomenal job at marketing her, whether it is drama that's taking place, or so we think, and drama in quotations, or if this is actually taking place. Her marketing team is amazing. She had people talking about, oh, Jay-Z is cheating on her. Guys, the reality is whether he is or not, how does that impact our lives in any kind of way? Okay? You want to be smart about these things, and you also want to be knowledgeable about what else is going on in the world other than Beyonce dropping a new album. She's an artist. That's what she's expected to do. Otherwise, no one will talk about her. But let's look at some real issues where people need our help and get on that. People in Flint, Michigan, just saying, we need to really and truly focus on people that need our help and our support. You know, I'm on social media quite a bit now, and I see a lot of people saying, oh, you know, we'll support these artists or these celebrities that we don't know. But when we have people who really need our help and our support, who are everyday people, we don't help them. We don't support them. We don't support small business. I'm not really clear on why we don't, but we really need to get our priorities in order, okay? And I know I'm kind of coming at you tonight, and I don't care. We need to get our priorities in order. These celebrities have their money. They do what they do. And the more you support them, that means you're taking away from someone else. Okay? We need to find worthy causes to support. Support being not just monetary, but sometimes you can volunteer and donate your time, which is just as helpful as donating financially. Okay, so let's start to get our priorities straight, because sometimes our priorities go askew. We hear from a celebrity, we hear about a celebrity, and we run all out and support them. But when we hear people in need, like, again, Flint, Michigan, they need clean water, where are we and what are we doing? Okay, so let's just get our thinking caps on and don't check our brains at the door. But let's start helping those in need, okay? And that can be monetary or your time. So I want to get into tonight's topic on Hold On, Don't Despise Your Birthright. If this is your first time joining us here at Bear It All, Dr. Brown is most definitely a friend of the show. I don't even want to call her a guest. So for those that are new, I'll just give you a little background on her. She was a 16-year-old teen mom, divorced, single mom turned faith heart coach. She's a motivational speaker, educator, mentor, pastor, prophetess, and mompreneur who teaches women and young girls how to live on purpose and turn their shameful mess into a powerful brand message, one that's unapologetic and inspirational. Dr. Brown helps women release their fear, reactivate their faith, and resuscitate their heart. Faith Heart Coach is founded upon Psalms 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Every Saturday, Dr. Brown teaches practical spiritual principles on her weekly live teleconference call at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Her speaking platform captivates multiple audiences, bridging nonprofit, faith-based education, and the military. Dr. Brown is the author of The Thorns Within, published by Arthur House under the name L.E. Brown, and can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Okay, it was the first book Dr. Brown published for her I Am Shame No More audience, which is now Faith Heart Coach. Faith Heart Coach mostly inspires women and young girls with motivational words, quotes, spiritual principles, and videos where she teaches them to activate their faith, be intentional, and live on purpose. Leslie's philosophy is, if you transform your mind, you'll transform your world. Join the inspirational movement and interact with Dr. Brown on multiple social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Ladies and gentlemen, friend to the show, Dr. Leslie Brown. Hi, Doc.
Hi, Doc. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I've been a little underneath the weather, but I am well. I am here, and I am ready to go.
Well, I thank you so much for taking time out, and I know you've been under the weather, so I'm glad you're feeling well enough to bring this message forth, because somebody out there needs to hear what you have to say. So without
thank
anything
you so
further,
much.
I Absolutely. I appreciate it. I will turn it over to you, Doc. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tonight we're going to come from Genesis 25, verses 24 through 34, and I'm reading from the NLT Bible. That's the New Living Translation Bible, and I'm not going to be before you guys long, but once again, I believe that this is a timely word, and it's titled, Hold On, Don't Despise Your Birthright. So I'm going to start at verse 24, and it reads, And when the time came to give birth, Rebecca discovered that she had indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. And the boys grew up. Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoors man. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebecca loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I am dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. So we're going to go straight into the message this evening, because the scripture, as you can see, opens up with two brothers, Esau and Jacob. Esau was a skillful hunter, and he loved the outdoors, while Jacob, if you noted while I was reading the verses, had a quiet temperament. He had a business sense. He was a shrewd negotiator, and he loved to stay at home with his mother. So we have a mama's boy, and then we have a daddy's boy, and each vying for attention from their beloved parents. But, however, we must pay close attention that each son is a victim of their parents' favoritism. I don't know about you, but I know about parents having favoritism with one child over the other, which fuels competition between the two at an early age. Because Esau didn't fully understand the measure of his birthright. And I'm going to assume, after studying this word intently, that no one ever fully explained the value of his birthright. So I want to ask the question this evening, have you ever had something of value, but yet you didn't know the full extent or the full value of that thing? And so therefore, this gave Jacob an advantage over his brother. Why? Because Esau didn't fully know the value of being the first son and obtaining this particular birthright. So how many of you on the line tonight ever sold part or all of your birthright just because you despised it or you didn't understand its value? I'm going to repeat, how many of you on the line tonight ever sold part of your birthright because you despised it or you didn't fully understand its value? So when you don't understand the value of something, as I begin to think about this and ponder over this message, it's easy to toss it aside or take it down to the pawn shop and hawk it or sell it for less than its value or give it away for free. And so in society, we have to understand, and particularly in the body of Christ, our worth and our value and how much something is worth. Biblically speaking, birthright is defined as special privileges and advantages belonging to the firstborn. It also means access granted to a double portion of your paternal inheritance, meaning your father's inheritance, your father's blessings. On the other hand, the dictionary meaning of birthright is defined as any right of privilege to which a person is entitled to at birth. I don't know about you, but I know that the Bible has allotted each of you promises and even in your families. A lot of you on the line tonight, you are standing in line, or you have already received your birthright. But do you honestly understand what your birthright is valued at? Isn't it funny that in life, some people fail to evaluate their self-worth or understand their position in the family's hierarchy, or they fail to seek appraisal of certain material possessions? And I thought about this as Esau just frivolously gave his birthright away, even though he was born first in line, and that the leadership possessions and the material possessions should have gone to him. But because he didn't know the value, because I'm going to believe nobody really took the time to explain the value and the worth of him being the firstborn, I believe that is why he gave it away so frivolously, therefore cheating himself of his legacy and cheating himself of his children's legacy, and them in turn losing their security. In case you didn't know, when you fail to evaluate your worth, understand your position, or seek appraisal of your most precious possessions, and if you despise it, you can give it away because in your mind it means nothing. Its value is worthless to you. So I find it funny that so many people sell their birthright to give it away so easily, only to later find out its value by someone else. So have you ever watched the show Antique Roadshow? Because as I was studying this message, it made me think a lot about the show, because I love watching the show, or when it came on, or in the past, Antique Roadshow, where people had the opportunity to bring in their most valued possessions to find out its worth by a professional appraiser or consultant. Now, on this show, the appraiser or the consultant would look at the item, and then and the appraiser or consultant would ask, how much did you pay for this item, or where did you receive this item? And either it would be from a family member passed down by family member, or they would have retrieved this item for $5 or $10 or so at a flea market or a yard sale. But what was so amazing that at the end of the appraisal, the appraiser would always say, this item is valued at hundreds of thousands of dollars. So can you imagine if the original owner of that same piece was watching that show on that particular evening? Can you fathom their facial reaction if they had sold that particular item for $5 or $10 or $15 or $20, only to find out that its value was worth $20 or $30 or $40 or $100,000? That's why it's so important for you to understand your birthright and how much your worth, or how much you are worth in terms of your self-worth. Because if you don't understand what your birthright is worth, or if you don't understand how much you are worth, then you will give your birthright, or you will chop yourself out for free or much or nothing. Because Esau despised his birthright, he gave up his spiritual blessings that were attached to his position for immediate gratification. I'm going to repeat that because this was so important when I was reading this. Esau despised his birthright so much because he did not understand the value, that he gave up his spiritual blessings that were attached to his position because he was the firstborn for immediate gratification. And what was the immediate gratification? A meal. That's what he sold his position for. One bowl of lentil stew. So just imagine Esau's face or heartbreak after negotiating his birthright for a quick return. And that quick return, once again, was for just one meal, only to find out that his impulsive behavior had dire consequences. Can you imagine once he found out that his immediate gratification, him wanting this meal, him claiming that he was so starved out, that he sold his birthright, that he gave away his leadership position, that he gave away his hierarchy position in his family for a bowl of soup. Verse 26 tells us, then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. See, this message is for the impulsive people on the line tonight who want everything now, the instant gratification people. Stop wanting instant gratification at a major cost. Have you assessed the cost for what you're willing to give up? Have you really sat down and wrote out the pros and cons or thought about intently. If I give this up for this bowl of soup, or if I give my body up for this man or this woman, what is going to be the cost? Don't terminate your purpose or give away your birthright because of instant gratification. God began to deal with my heart, and he says, Leslie, too many people in the body of Christ are starting to give away their birthright or starting to give away their self-worth for instant gratification. Yes, things may look favorable for the quick sale, because I'm quite sure in Esau's mind, oh, yes, that was a favorable deal. Or, yes, even if, you know, Esau may have even felt powerful after negotiating with his brother, when his brother was negotiating with him, and he probably felt like the big man. You know, I gave away this thing. It wasn't worth anything. Oh, now I'm full. I've eaten my soup, and I can go about my day. But little did he know, or he may have felt even satisfied after eating that bowl of hot stew. He may have felt satisfied about this transaction, but little did he know that his actions were going to cost something, that his actions were going to have a long-term consequence attached. Thinking about Esau's mistake, I then thought to myself, how could he have made such a big mistake? And it hit me. He made the biggest mistake of his life by aiming for short-term gratification while having to accept long-term consequences. How many of us on the line tonight, we make instant gratification types of decision only to think about, oh my goodness, the long-range consequences for that immediate gratification. What was Esau's mistake? Once again, verses 29 through 30 reminds us. It states, one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. This one transaction changed the course of Esau's entire life. Can you imagine? Because of one instant gratification move, now your entire life has been changed. Even your children's lives have been changed. You have even corrupted and uprooted the legacy that was meant for your house, your children. So it showed us that Esau valued his life, his instant, his immediate gratification more than he valued his birthright. How many of you on the line value your instant gratification because it's the me complex or the me syndrome? I want it now, and you can't delay your gratification, so you're willing to give up some things only to find out that what you gave up was very valuable. Esau lacked discernment, because had he taken the time to discern the value of that thing, or had he taken the time to discern the worth of his birthright, had he investigated or asked some questions, he would have understood the value of his birthright. Therefore, he couldn't discern what was truly important, so therefore he lost his position in line. He lost not only his birthright, but his legacy's birthright. How do you value the promises that God has spoken over your life? What values, or how do you value the promises that God has spoken over your life? Or what is, or this is the question that I really want to ask on the line tonight. What is the going rate for you to sell your birthright? How many of you are selling your birthright for a meager couple of dollars, or for a ticket, or just to be a part of somebody's crew? Unlike Esau, think about what's ahead of you, not what's in front of you, by implementing these four faith strategies that I'm going to leave with you guys tonight. And faith strategy number one is never exaggerate your hunger just to pacify your instant gratification. Because had Esau not exaggerated his hunger, he stated that I'm starving. He wasn't starving. He may have been hungry, but he wasn't starving. He wanted to pacify his instant gratification. So I'm going to tell you that I'm starving so you can feel pity for me, so you can give me some of your lentil stew, only for me to give up my birthright for one meal. So faith strategy number one, again, is never exaggerate your hunger. I don't care how hungry you are to be a part of a clique or be a part of a crew or to have something before someone else. If God hasn't told you that, listen, this is your season to have this, never exaggerate your hunger for something just to pacify an instant gratification. Faith strategy number two, shape your worldview. What are you watching on the news? What are you listening to? In Esau's time, I'm quite sure he could have asked some other questions. Well, how valuable is this birthright? Tell me a little bit more about it. What does this mean? If I give it away, tell me what are my consequences? Do you do this by studying and asking questions and gaining clarity and broadening your horizon? So many of us, we don't know the value of something. We don't understand the value of our birthright. We don't understand the value of partnerships. We don't understand the value. I heard Doc mention earlier about you stepping out and helping other people. In terms of enlarging your territory and moving up spiritually in the spiritual realm. Fake strategy number three, make wise choices. And don't believe that ignorance is an excuse to dabble in poor behavior. I'm going to repeat that. Faith strategy number three, make wise decisions. Because Esau failed to make wise decisions, he allowed his ignorance to override his positive actions. And so therefore his legacy was taken away from his children and his leadership position was now snatched away. Why? Because of his lack of knowledge. And faith strategy number five, look for other alternatives to fix your issues. I'm going to repeat that. Faith strategy number five, look for other alternatives to fix your issues. Why am I saying this? Because had Esau not come into that house and say, guess what, I'm starving, give me some of that red stew, this would have never happened. But because he didn't look for another alternative, because he didn't look for another snack or something else to eat, he sold his birthright for one bowl of red soup. So because Esau failed to look for other options, He presented himself as weak, or he positioned himself as weak to Jacob, allowing Jacob to take full advantage of his weakness. So I'm going to repeat the four strategies again. Faith strategy number one, never exaggerate your hunger to pacify an instant gratification. Faith strategy number two, shape your world view. What are you watching? What are you listening to that will expand your knowledge? Because if you're not learning something new every day, you're going to miss something valuable that could possibly help you and help your legacy. Faith strategy number three, make wise choices. And don't believe that ignorance is an excuse to dabble in poor behavior. And faith strategy number five, look for other alternatives to fix your issues. Because had Esau once again, had he gone out and looked for other options, he would have never presented himself as weak to his brother Jacob. And his brother Jacob would have never swooped in and stole his birthright. So once again, I want to leave you guys with this last statement. Hold on and don't despise your birthright. Doc, I'm handing the mic back over to you.
How are you going to say all of that and talk about Doc? I'm handing the mic back over to you. I'm like, what is that about? You drop these four nuggets. You're like, all right, peace, I'm out. You drop the mic. Exit stage left. Listen, guys, if you want to get on the call with Doc, I can't even get it together. Wait, see, you be messing with me. Stop. Wait, hold on. Wait, if you want to get on the call and talk to Doc, the caller number is 347-855-8229. Hit the number 1, and that will indicate to us that you want to get on air and chop it up. Now, Doc, I don't know what to say. Those were interesting, and, you know, you're absolutely right. A lot of us don't know our own worth. And my question is, well, how do we get to know our worth? But before you answer my question, we've got a caller that has a question, so take their call because, you know, they're important. We want to hear that. Hi, caller. Welcome to Bear It All.
Hello? Oh, hi. No, I just... Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, no, I was just listening. I didn't mean to. I'm still thinking on my question. Sorry.
Well, you're on the spot now. You better say something. You better
exactly.
Say
you're on the spot now.
Well, okay. It was a very... I thank you for saying what you said. It was very powerful and very needed, but especially for the body of Christ, as we don't know our birthrights and how important it is to move on to the next level. So I'll just say thank you for sharing that message.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Doc, what was my question? How do we get to know our worth? I mean, like, so many people don't know what they're worth. And you're right. You and I have this conversation all the time about our worth and our God-given talents and skills and abilities and not selling ourselves short. But for someone that doesn't know, how do they know their worth?
Well, first of all, like Esau and Jacob, both of them, you know, their parents, Rebecca, she really highlighted Jacob's strength, and she taught her son, I hate to say it like this, how to be a trickster, so to speak, because she was scheming and plotting with her son. And on the other hand, Esau was connected more to his father. So his father had that connection with Esau. And with that being said, Doc, both children were seen by each parent for separate strengths. So in order for you to know your self-worth as a child, it really starts at home with the parent. What is your parent teaching you? And when your parent is not honing in on certain skill sets and attributes and characteristic traits, you know, your environment shapes you. Your environment will mold who you are. Even when you're sent out into the world, your classroom that you go to daily in the public school system or middle school system or high school system, your teachers also mold and shape you. Your church mold and shape who you are spiritually. So therefore, it's a plethora of things that will mold and shape you in terms of you understanding and gaining understanding in terms of your self-worth.
Now, I know you mentioned when you fail to understand your worth, you give it away. Is there any way we can get it back?
Well, in Esau's defense, no.
Yeah, he was done. That was
forever. Yeah, he was done. That was a done deal. But think about this, Doc. But think about this, and we're going to go a little bit deep, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but that's just like giving away your worth when we have sex and we give away, you know, our virginity. You can't get that back. Some things you can't get back. You know, a lot of people say, you know what? I'm on my abstinence fast again. That's cool. But guess what? You'll never get that moment back again. So to answer your question, some things no, we'll never get back. However, can you receive your self-esteem back? Yes. Can you look at it from the standpoint of, guess what, I'm no longer going to walk in shame. I'm no longer going to have this guilt. I'm no longer going to stand from the standpoint of feeling worthless. Yes, we can definitely gain our self-worth back. But, however, it starts with the mind. And we have to transform our mind. Because if we don't transform our mind is a powerful tool, and our heart is a powerful tool. Our mind controls our emotions. But our heart, whatever is in our heart, will spring from the mouth. So what are we thinking? What words are – that's why it's so important for us to watch what we are watching on television and be careful what we're listening to. Via the radio or television or YouTube, et cetera, because all of those things help to shape our self-worth. And if we're not careful, and if we're already broken and damaged goods, and dependent upon what we're watching and listening to, dependent upon who we are hanging around in terms of our friends, guess what? We will remain broken vessels. But if we speak life, if we believe in the promises of God, you know, that I'm the head and not the tail. I am rich in the city and I'm rich in the field. I am healed by his stripes. If we keep, you know, speaking life and not death, because the scripture also states that, you know, there's power in, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So what are you speaking over your life? Because, see, our words, they manifest when we speak those things into the atmosphere. So we have to be very careful what we release from our mouths. We have to be very careful what we allow others to even release in our atmosphere. You know, sometimes even as parents, if we're broken as parents and we tell our child, you know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're fat, you're ugly, you're this or that, guess what? That is shaping that child's self-worth. So what are you releasing into the atmosphere? Because as we know, hurt people hurt people. But then mm-hmm. that begs the question, do you even know that you're hurt? Because, see, some people don't even know that they're hurt.
Well, I was waiting for you to say, tell us how we know if we hurt. But before you do that, you want to get on. Listen, you can't be giving us halfway feeding us. Feed me all the way. I ain't giving up my birthright for that food, but you know what I'm saying. Listen, guys, if you want to get on the call with Dr. Brown, the dial-in number is 347-855-8229. If you're already on the line and you want to talk to us, hit the number 1. That'll indicate you want to get on air and chat it up. So, yeah, Doc, go ahead, answer that. Like, you're right. A lot of people don't know that they're hurt. But how do we – there's got to be some indication. Like, I mean, you can't just not know. Right?
So give me the question again. I missed the question.
The question is, how do we find out that we're hurt so that we can change that?
Well, Doc, you know what? We can find – well, I would say this. You know if you're hurt if everybody's running away from you and they're not running towards you.
Oh, you're toxic.
Yes, toxic behavior. You know, if everybody's running away – saying, you know what, you have a nasty attitude, your behavior is foul. You know, everybody can't be wrong. You know how you have some people like, well, I don't understand why this person doesn't like me or why, you know, such and such always have an attitude with me. Well, everybody can't be wrong. So maybe you need to look at your behavior, check your attitude, check, you know, your environment. Because sometimes, once again, if your environment is toxic, that stuff is feeding into you. You know, I was sitting in an audience a couple of weeks ago, and I smelled alcohol reeking from a person, and I had never, you know, smelled that before. So with that being said, I was discussing this with somebody. I was like, goodness gracious, I never knew that could happen. So I'm saying that to say this. If you're in something for so long or taking in something for so long, eventually that thing will start to reek or seep out of your skin, and it's going to infest everybody else. And because I don't drink or be around a whole lot of drinking, that smell was really starting to get on my nerve and cause me to become nauseated. So if you're among people and your attitude and actions start to infest everybody else, and nobody wants to talk to you, nobody wants to call you, nobody wants to visit you, and they're always talking about how toxic your attitude is, guess what? Those are simple indicators that something is wrong. Everybody's not going to be wrong.
So that means you need to start having a conversation with yourself and being
real.
A lot of people
and being real.
That's the problem. A lot of people can't be real with themselves, real and raw with themselves, and sometimes that's what it takes in order for you to make a change. That being said, Doc, what do we do with our birthright? Like, I know we have one, and, like, some people just don't know what to do with it. They haven't given it away for, like, a bowl of stew, but they just don't know what to do with it.
Well, just different things. It's different strokes for different folks, you know? If your birthright, say, for instance, is a house that has been passed down, are you going to really sell your family's house if that's the family's house and you're next in line to receive the family's house and you know that you have 5, 6, 7 other siblings and they're all against it, but then yet because it was left to you, I'm going to make the final decision on this house, so therefore I'm going to give it away. How selfish. So different strokes for different folks. You know, you have to really sit down and understand the value, because even though that person may look at the monetary value of that house, well, you know what, I'm going to get this money, then, you know what, I have plans to, you know, divvy up the cash among everybody. Well, everybody else may not want the cash, the other 5 siblings. Maybe they're looking at the sentimental value of the house. So I can't answer that as a overall type of response, but I would definitely state that it's a case by case type of response. What is it worth to you? Are you looking at the monetary value, or are you looking at the sentimental value, or is it just worthless to you? And see, then that goes back to educating yourself on how much is something worth. And it goes back to perspective and how you view something, because oftentimes some people have some jacked up perspective because of their environment once again, and nobody ever taught you to value anything. That's like a kid getting a toy for Christmas, right? And then every Christmas they tear up their toy in less than 5 or 6 hours later. You're like, Dad, you just received that toy, and now it gets torn up. Why? Because you didn't teach that kid the value the how much work and sweat and money that you had to work all Christmas, excuse me, for the month of December, let's say, for example, and money is tight in your house. That kid doesn't know, you know, the hours you put in. You probably worked 40-plus hours just to purchase that one little remote control car. But because you failed to teach your kid how to value anything, that child doesn't – all that kid see is, guess what, this is just a little plastic Tonka truck. I'm going to tear it up. Mm-hmm. And then you're upset. But did you take the time to teach the word value and what something is worth? Did you explain to the child, listen, I had to pay $25 for this Tonka truck. This is the only thing you received for Christmas. Why? Because this is all mommy had, or this is all daddy had. So if you're not teaching the word, see, I believe that nobody really sat down and educated Esau. See, because Rebecca was a trickster herself. Rebecca, mm-hmm. you know, she was talking to Jacob. She was saying, listen, now you're about to lose out here. Now I'm going to tell you what you need to do. So, in other words, Rebecca had business savvy sense and street credibility, okay? Nobody was tanking that time with Esau. That's why he didn't understand.
So, Rebecca was a thug.
I'm not going to say all that. But she has some thug tendencies if you read the Bible, plotting and scheming the way she was.
Wow. Now, Doc, I'm going to ask you something here, and it comes to how would you – you've got someone who kind of has an idea that where they are currently is not the end-all, be-all for them. It's not their final destination. How mm-hmm. do you speak to someone to help motivate and blossom, for lack of a better word, their self-worth so that they can take that next step? Because for me, it just seems like people have this thing called fear, and fear is going to stop them from living their full potential because of their environment, like you're saying. If they're around folks who ain't going nowhere, ain't about nothing, they may feel like, okay, if I take this step and step out, they're going to look at me funny. They're going to talk about me. They're going to make fun of me, whatever. I'll lose some friends. But how do you empower that person to keep pouring into themselves to make the move and live out their purpose?
Well, first of all, in terms of empowering someone so they can, you know, make the move and live out their purpose, they're going to want, once again, either you're going to have to, one, change your mindset, because guess what? There's mm-hmm. always a battle in the mind.
Absolutely.
Two, sometimes you may even have to get up and change your environment, you know? Oftentimes we don't like mm-hmm. to shift outside of our comfort zone. So how comfortable are you? And then this is the question I like to ask people. You know, how sick and tired are you really? Are you sick and tired? Mm. Or are you sick and tired, sick and tired, sick and tired, and sick and tired of being sick and tired? See, and I say this all the time, and people laugh when I say this, but you at least have to be about five sick and tired for some people to really get it and say, you know what, I need a lifestyle change. Some people love the abuse. Some people love, you know, people talking crazy to them. Some people love that because, you know, that gives mm-hmm. them a high and that makes them feel worthy.
Yes.
So with that being said, in order for you to change who you are, sometimes it's going to take an environment change. It's going to take a change in your mentality. And it's going to even take a change in who you hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? If God is attempting to elevate you to the next level, certain people can't go. Let's just keep it real. I don't care if you went to school with Teresa since preschool and you guys have been friends since preschool. If God is saying, listen, now I'm about to shift you, for example, in ministry, and God is saying, okay, listen, some of these people, because you used to run hard with them in the street, I want you to continuously minister to them, but you can't hang out. You can't continuously go to the club with them. You can't continuously go out and drink and party with them. Why? Because, see, some people will make you feel bad for your calling. Some people will make you feel bad for your gifting. So you're going to sometimes have to watch who you're hanging with, and you're going to have to make some friendship changes. And some people, you're going to have to find the strength, pull yourself up by the bootstrap, and say, you know what? I can't take you to my next level. I love you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to even continuously talk to you. But guess what? We can't continuously hang out. Why? Because of where I'm going. And guess what? It has nothing to do with, and I hate when people say this, oh, you think you're better than me. No, I don't. No, I don't. I just understand the direction and the purpose and the plan according to Jeremiah 29:11 that God is calling me into. And in order for me to answer the call effectively for my life, I'm going to have to let some things go.
Oh. Bye.
Love you, but I got to go. And, you know, I think for some people, that's one of the hardest things to do. They figure, if I've been friends with you from grade school, that we're going to be friends until we die. And as you said, not everybody can fit in my boat. My little boat is a two-seater. You can't fit and you can't sit on my lap. So I got to leave you on the riverbank and keep it moving.
That's right.
And it's not
always
easy.
And you can't allow people to make you feel guilty about leaving them on the riverbank and keeping it moving. Because people will make you feel guilty.
They sure do.
About walking out your purpose and owning your birthright and owning who you are and owning who God has called you to be. And guess what? That's not your problem. That's their problem. Because then that should tell you that they have a self-esteem issue. The problem isn't with you. It's with them. And that's something that they're going to have to work out. So the tip or the strategy that I would give to you for them is pray for them. Pray for them that God will change their hearts, that God will change their mindset. Because I'm going to tell you, the mind is a powerful thing. And when you don't watch what you're taking in or the people that you are around, it's so easy to fall into bad habits. It's so easy to abort or terminate your birthright or terminate your purpose or failure to answer the call for your life. Why? Because you're hanging out with the wrong people. And just because people knew you when. Well, I knew her when she was in high school. I never knew she was going to be a preacher. And what? Well, guess what? I am now at a different stage in my life. Do you think everybody's supposed to remain the same? Shame on you. And shame on you for making, you know, Teresa or Sade feel bad or Sarah feel bad because you don't feel as if they should develop and change. That's why it's called personal growth and development.
My goodness. All right, I think we've got a question or a comment from the caller. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
I can hear you.
All right. One of my question is or comment is, I was one of those individuals, you know, didn't know my birthright, basically didn't know much of my father's side, didn't know too much of my mother's side. And when I decided to follow God and got filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, then he dug all the iniquity. I cut out the sin. But the root, which was the iniquity, was caused that I had to go, he had to go deep and down and to remind me, these are the things that you're still holding on to, your bitterness, your anger, your frustration,
right.
Your fear, all of that I was still holding on to. So I think it's very important if a person don't know their birthright or who their mother is or who they're supposed to be, because, you know, some people have a father who's a police officer and they know they're going to go that route. But if you don't have that on each other side to know who you are and your destiny and your purpose, you have to look through the Holy Spirit to direct you down that path.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well said, well said. What's your name?
Tamika.
Awesome, Tamika. Well said, well said.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
All right.
I truly appreciate it. So we got some work to do, Doc. That's all I have to say is we do. Like, people out there need to know about purpose. And I know we're doing our thing and trying to educate people, but people are I find that some people are not taking this seriously. So it becomes, what do you know your self-worth? Do you know what you are worth? You know how valuable you are. And we need to get you on that path where you know how valuable you are. You weren't created.
But
God,
you know,
don't make junk.
And that's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you another problem that I'm finding in terms of coaching people on faith and coaching people on purpose. And it's this. Oftentimes, people want to try to, for example, if I say, you know what, my coaching session is $75 an hour, well, why you can't sell it for $25? So why should I devalue myself because that's how you see yourself? Hello?
Ooh.
See, now you wouldn't walk up in Prada or the MK store talking about, why this pocketbook $350? Why can't you sell it for $40? See, you're going to take your money or your credit card or your debit card, and you're going to go in there and you're going to pay full price. And even if you don't pay full price, even if the markdown is $175, you're still going to pay that $175. You're never going to ask them, listen, lower your rate to $25. So, see, we got to stop doing that. We have to stop expecting other people to devalue themselves because that's how you see yourself. Or get upset when people say, I'm not about to devalue my work. I'm not about to devalue who God has called me to be. And then you get an attitude saying, well, then I just won't support you then. Oh, okay. That's fine. However, be careful what seeds you sow, you know? And people don't understand that even when they come across at people like that and say, well, you know what, I'm not going to pay, you know, $75 an hour because I don't understand why you can't lower your rate to $25 or $35 an hour. I don't understand why you charge that much for your speaking fee. Well, if you were to open a restaurant or a store right now, would you want every customer to come in there and say, you know what, I understand, ma'am, that you had this shirt for $25, but can I get it for $5? Come on, Doc. People would become upset. So why are you trying to devalue my stuff if you don't want anybody else to treat you? Think about, you know, I started to ask people this question now, and, you know, and this is an old question. I haven't made this up, but I started to ask, what would Jesus do? And I leave it at that. When it come across me with stupidness, I said, what would Jesus do? And I even told somebody the other day, I had to refer back to the scripture. I said, didn't Jesus respond? And he said, whose face is on the coin, so to speak? And he said, isn't it Caesar? Yes. He said, so therefore pay Caesar what's due to Caesar, and then pay me what's, you know, pay my father what's due to my father. So if even Jesus' response was pay Caesar what's due to Caesar, then why are you not expecting to pay me what's due to me? I'm confused.
Wow. Because we know our worth, and we're just trying to get
but
you
are we
to
living
know yours.
It? Exactly. And are we living the word? Or we only want to live the word when the word is applicable to certain situations or certain scenarios. Yeah. You know, then we want to pull out certain scriptures. That's not fair. And you know, one of my favorite sayings is, come on, let's play fair in the sandbox. let's play fair in the sandbox. So don't try to hit below the belt or only want to use certain little quotes or saying or scriptures when it serves you. Be fair all the time. Be fair across the board.
Wow. I love this message. I love the fact that you are not going to devalue who you are for people who don't know your worth, and they don't have to, as long as you know your worth. That's what matters. People are just going to be people, and they're going to try to get over and get by. It's your choice whether you allow that or not. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to speak for Doc. She ain't going to allow that. So y'all got to come right or don't come, you know, but she will be provided for, and we need to understand that. And can I say something else about you, Doc? Can I put it out there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a gift? Okay, so Doc
yes.
has a gift, right? She's a prophetess. And some people try to – let me see how I can put this nice. Yeah, I can't. So y'all be trying to get all you can out of her without giving anything in return. And when I say that, you want to pimp her out and bleed her dry of her gift and her talent, but then what are you doing with it? Are you helping somebody else? Are you taking on what she's actually saying to you and going out there and doing this thing? Or are you just basically, you know, I don't know, letting her gift fall by the wayside when it comes to you? So I'm just saying.
Brief correction, it's not even my gift, it's God's gift. You know, God gets the glory for this gifting. And see, and that's what people don't understand. So when you state, oh, you know what, prophetess, I want a coaching session. I want to hear what God is saying. And then when I tell you God says X, Y, Z, and then you're going to be like, ooh, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it is. And then 3 months later you come back and I say, well, did you implement what God told you to implement? Oh, no. Then guess what? Are you really serious?
Mm-hmm.
See, God wants serious people. God wants serious people in the body of Christ, even though he's working with the flawed. But he wants you at some point in time, if I'm giving you a word, so many people come to me for a word, and I tell them what I hear God say, because it's not my word, it's God's word. I'm only a vessel being used, and I'm so glad that he saved me, and I've been graced with this great anointing, this mantle over my life. But you know, people need to understand, when God gives a word, walk that word out. And I tell people all the time, listen, then you, I see people all the time, and I'm not going to say every prophet or prophetess is real, but I know this much, for the real prophets and prophetesses out there, we don't prophesy. You're just a fake recipient. And when I heard prophet Todd Hall say that, he said, you know what, so many people want to say, you know, there are so many false prophets, but is it really false prophets, or is it just a false recipient? Because, see, let me tell you something. When God gives a mandate, and I prophesy your word, if you don't walk out that mandate, if I tell you right now, well, I see school, and God is telling me that you need to go back to school so you can be equipped with X, Y, and Z, and you fail to register for school, then why are you expecting a degree? I'm confused.
But they confuse too, Doc, if they think they can get it.
Exactly. But then you're saying, well, I don't understand my purpose. Well, of course you're not going to understand your purpose, because you haven't even put strategy one into gear. You're still in park. Where are you going to step out on faith? Because, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So God wants you to activate your faith. Why? Because faith means that, listen, I have the confidence that God is going to work this thing out. I have a confidence that God is going to do a good work in me. I have the assurance. I don't need to see the evidence, because guess what? If you have the evidence that everything is going to work out, is that truly faith? That's not faith. Not if you have all of the evidence in front of you, the facts in front of you, you're not standing on faith, then you don't need God.
Right.
And so many people are saying, yeah, I have faith. No, you don't. Because if you had faith, then you would activate that faith, and then you will walk by faith and not by sight. You're not going to have to wait until, oh, yeah, I received my check in the mail. Now I can move forward. No, God is saying, listen, you're going to walk, and you're going to keep decreeing and declaring over your life. You know what? My light bill is paid. I don't care if my checking account is in the red. My light bill is paid. I have until Friday. I decree and declare right now that my light bill is paid. I'm standing on unshakable faith that my light bill is paid. I tell so many people, listen, scratch your hands out over your bills, and you start decreeing and declaring and activating God's words up over your bills or up over your health situation. See, people play too much. You know, I did a sermon on that, and I told them, you know, I should have titled that sermon, You Play Too Much, because in order for you to walk out, Doc, are you laughing at me?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
No, but for real, in order for you to walk out your purpose, you can't play with your faith.
People aren't, you said
and so
it.
So God is just waiting on you.
Serious.
God is just waiting. He wants to see how serious you are with some things. And when you take one step, then he'll take two.
Right. Absolutely. Y'all better get serious. Stop playing. I'm telling you, God will do some amazing things in your life when you trust him and you activate your faith. I mean, just things that beyond what you can think or imagine, he will do for you. But, you know, y'all can keep playing. I'll keep getting the blessing, and I'm going to keep moving on with my life, because I'm not giving up my birthright for nothing. I ain't that hungry for that stew. Ain't that good anyway. But, Doc, listen. I want you to drop like a little parting word for our listening audience tonight. This was a powerful, powerful message on hold on, don't despise your birthright. And you dropped so many nuggets, self-worth, faith, you know, and people got to get serious. So let's just give the folks some little parting words, Doc. I want you to do a little prayer, and we're going to wrap this up.
Okay. Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just give you the honor and the praise, God. I thank you for every listening ear on this airway today, God. I thank you, Father God, for going into every household, onto every job, Father God, and cleaning up, Father God, every single environment, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for removing, Father God, the spirits of fear, the spirits of frustration, the spirits of doubt, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you are right now activating, Father God, your supernatural powers, Father God, and you are touching every one of your sons and daughters on this line tonight, Father God, or even the ones, Father God, who will click on the link, Father God, in the future, Father God, and that you, God, you are about to clarify their purpose, Father God, in 2016. You, Father God, are about to activate or reactivate their faith, Father God. I thank you, Holy Ghost Spirit, and we are all touching and agreeing and thinking in advance, Father God, that you are also, Father God, cutting off, Father God, the spirit of fear, Father God, that has come
oppressed, Father God, emotionally, spiritually, Father God, and physically, in hostage, Father God, in the spirit realm, Father God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father God, for advancement, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your day, for daily loading us, Father God, with benefits, Father God. We decree, Father God, and declare, Father God, that your people, Father God, has been set free and set free indeed. We thank you, God, for a fantastic, Father God, 2016. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of abundance and for the gift, Father God, of acceleration, Father God. And we just thank you, God, for accelerating, Father God, some things in your people's, in your children's life, Father God, who've been waiting, Father God, and standing, Father God, and believing, Father God, that you were going to work that thing out, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, that this is the appointed time, that this is the appointed time, Father God, that you've read our petitions, Father God, and that you've heard our cries, Father God. Even when, Father God, man couldn't, Father God, hear us, Father God, or help us, Father God, you, Father God, came to our rescue. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father God, that we lack nothing in this season, Father God, and that you, God, are the God that can do the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Wow. And on that note, Doc, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me once again.
I truly appreciate it. For those of you that are new and y'all really want to hear Doc again, she's on the last Wednesday of every month on this show. Unless, of course, she's out blessing other people on a Wednesday night and then, you know, we do what we do. But we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to share her with other people and play nice in the sandbox. So,
praise God.
Catch Doc on. She has her Saturday calls every first and third Saturday of every month. Right, Doc?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And if they want more information, they could definitely join my Facebook group, Self Love Starts Now, because I can't remember the number offhand. But, yes, so they can dial in every first and third Saturday of every month and listen to the live purpose call.
And let her check you, because that's what that's about. But she's checking you out of love. Don't worry about it. Thank you so
much. That's right.
Much.
Everything in love.
Exactly. Everybody out there tuning in and listening in, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for your support. And as I said earlier, if you are in Brooklyn on Sunday or you plan to be in Brooklyn on Sunday, May 1st, about 1 o'clock, check out our Facebook page and RSVP and be in the live studio audience for the Dr. Rock Show. Dr. Brown,
congrats
thank you
on that
so
once
much
again.
As always. Well, you know, thank you. I'm just stepping out on faith and doing what I do, and God will do what he does, but I got to do my part. And guys, remember, as always, your choices determine your destiny. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great night, and God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.